Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Romans, the sixth chapter? Good to see all of you here this morning. One of the things I've always wanted to do was ride an elephant. Mainly because every horse can't necessarily take me. I did ride a horse it was about a year and a half ago. I was in the Middle East. I was at Petra, and one of the ways to get down to Petra is you can ride a camel or you can ride a horse. And there were horses down there, and some of the Arabs down there can be rather pushy with what they do, and one gentleman certainly wanted me to ride his horse, and I kept telling him, no, I don't think the horse is big enough for me, and he insisted, and before I knew it, I was on his horse, and there was a German tourist that saw me riding his horse, and he said, "That is not good for that horse." I appreciated the Arab gentleman taking up for me, and he goes, "That is none of your business. That is none of your business. It is my horse." But he did have me get off my horse and get on a camel there before too long. But it does take a draft animal or something like that for me to ride it, and I have thought that while camels handle me pretty well, they don't like it much, but they do handle me pretty well. I've often thought an elephant would be the kind of thing that. Riding an elephant probably wouldn't strain too much at letting me ride it. In training elephants, though, from what I understand, they have to train them by getting them used to certain kinds of pressure. One of the things that they do, especially in Thailand, where elephants are used to not only to ride, but also to be able to pull large burdens, is they will chain them to banyan trees and chain their legs to banyan trees. And what they will do is they'll pull away, and they'll notice that because the banyan tree is so large, they pull away for a while, and they will actually, in pulling away, they realize that there is a pain associated with pulling away from the banyan tree, because the chain actually will cause them some irritation on their leg. So that after a certain amount of time, you can actually take away the chain from the banyan tree, and you can chain them to a stake in the ground, which actually they can very easily uproot. But because they are so associated with the pain that comes from pulling away, they still will not pull away from the stake. The minute the chain becomes tight, they'll stop. Because they are used to, at the point that the chain becomes tight, that they stop pulling. Because they've become accustomed to that particular kind of pressure. Old habits, I think, work with Christians in that way. Even though we become freed from sin, sometimes old habits still kind of work with us in that way. We're not chained to the banyan tree anymore. But even though we could pull free, sometimes we still respond as if we were still tied to sin, still bound to it, still chained to it, still act as if we still have the same old hurts and the same old bondage that we used to have. In the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, verses 5 through 7, It says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. One of the hardest things that we have to grasp in our Christianity is the fact that we're freed from sin. But those old habits sometimes linger. Sometimes an ugly mouth. Sometimes bad thoughts or bad habits. Things that we used to do still sometimes are things that still bind us, even though we're not bound to them in the same way, can still, even though we could pull free from them much more easily than we used to do, because we're really free from the bondage that we had to them in the past. We just, like those elephants, react just like we remember we used to be. Today I'd like to talk about old habits and things that need to be changed in the Christian life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this old self that we put off could just be taken and completely buried and dead, and by putting on the new self, there was no complication with it, that the new self was so completely new that there was no difficulty in keeping the old self dead. But it's not that way, is it? It takes effort to make sure that there's no resurrection of this old self. Love to tell you that it's easy to be a Christian, but it's not always easy. You don't come up from the watery grave of baptism just completely free from all the old habits that you had and completely free from the old thoughts that you used to think and completely free from the old practices that you engaged in. You have to put some effort into making sure that that old man of sin stays dead. Crucifying that old man is something that takes a great deal of determination initially, but it continues to take a great deal of determination throughout one's Christian life. To not only when you hit the point of opposition that you stop, but you continue to pull up the stake, like the elephant should do, and not allow ourselves to be bound by the old man of sin. William James, the philosopher and educator, said there are three basic things that one has to do when changing a habit. The first thing one has to do is to change it immediately. If you're going to change a habit, the thing to do is not to say, well, you know, boy, I really need to change that habit sometime. I need to get around to that. You know, that's one of the things that really hurts us sometimes, is to think that, you know, one of these days I am really, really, really going to change and change utterly. Because usually in the delay, change is defeated. And you know, in delaying the changes that are necessary for us to continue to keep the old man of sin dead and buried, Satan usually has us right exactly where he wants to have us. And the longer he can keep us from determining to keep those old habits buried, the longer he could keep us away from the right relationship with God. The second thing that James said, though, that you have to do if you want to make sure that you keep an old habit changed into new habits is to make sure that you repeatedly utilize a new habit. That old habit is changed into something new, and you do the new habit constantly. You repeat it, and you repeat it all the time. That as often as you can, that you do what is the new practice that you have determined that you are going to practice. If your habit is going to be to read the Bible, for example, that you make sure that Bible reading becomes a regular part of your life. You didn't read the Bible at all before, then you need to read the Bible regularly. And it is amazing what a short time it takes for an old habit of non-reading the Bible to become a regular habit of reading the Bible. Usually only takes about 3 weeks to a month for something that wasn't a habit to become a habit. And then the third thing is to make sure that to quit an old habit and to begin a new habit, that you do your habit as soon and often. Practice that habit soon and often. Whenever you get the chance, you utilize the opportunities to utilize it as soon and as often as you can. Think about the chance that you can to be able to utilize something new. When you think about it, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to quit cursing, for example, if you're going to use good words instead of bad words, if you're going to use words that mean something rather than words that are curses, then you need to immediately decide that you're going to quit that, and you're going to have to repeatedly use those words, and you're going to have to make sure that as soon and as often as you can, you replace the old with the new, and you're going to have to make sure that that is done repeatedly, because if you want that to become something that is ingrained in your subconscious, you have to be able to do that and do it quickly. Otherwise, the old habit remains. And the new habit has no opportunity to be able to be developed in your new body. It really doesn't take too long for something new to become a habit. But it has to be done immediately, it has to be done repeatedly, and it has to be done soon, and it has to be done often. We see this utilized in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, verses 20 through 24. When the Apostle Paul, in talking to the Ephesian brethren, tells them, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. But indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." You know, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. But you know, if you make a conscious effort to put on something new and do it immediately and do it repeatedly and do it as often as you can and do it as soon as you can, as soon as you notice that that's something that the old habit is about to raise its head, do you know, just like it says here, lay aside the old self and put on the new self by being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Guess what can happen? You can become somebody completely different than you were before. He says something quite similar in the third chapter of the book of Colossians. You notice that they were written at about the same time, from the same prison circumstances. There's a lot of parallels in Ephesians and Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 9 through 11. He says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian." And Scythian were about as barbaric as they could think of at that time. Good thing they didn't know about any of our ancestors too carefully. Slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Don't lie to one another, but put on the new self. What do you do if lying is your habit? You quit lying. When do you quit lying? Now. When do you quit lying? All the time you quit lying. And every time you think of lying, you stop it. And as often as you think about lying, you bite your tongue and stop lying and tell the truth. Why? Because you put on the new self, which is renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. Old habits, part of the old self. New habits, part of the new self. Where is the old self? Crucified, buried, dead? You don't want to dig up that old self and bring him out and drag him around. That wouldn't be pleasant for anybody. And certainly wouldn't be profitable for you. You got to do things right. You got to set things right. You got to make sure that in your new life, you set up new habits. And make sure that you set your life in order for the new start that you're giving your life, to make sure that Christ is the one who you allow to renew you in this new life that you've started. James LaFleur made the first Atlantic crossing from Maine to Ireland solo, by sail. And he knew that one of the things that was going to get to him was going to be the problem of being alone for between 20 and 30 days. Because one of the difficulties that people who had tried it before had been the fact of becoming disoriented out on the Atlantic and becoming just not only stir crazy, but disoriented, was just by every day becoming the same. And so one of the ways that he decided that he was going to overcome that was that he was going to organize his life just as if he was out on a daily pleasure cruise. He got up every morning and he gave himself a cloth bath. He got up and he fixed 3 meals a day. He set the table. And he organized his day just as if there were other people there on the boat with him, and that he was out for a day cruise. And he had no disorientation, and the time went quickly, and his life stayed organized on the 21-day crossing because he kept everything in his day and in his life on this crossing organized. Unlike others who had failed, he made sure that everything was like it needed to be in his life. He acted just as if he was 3 miles offshore instead of as if he was over 1,000 miles offshore. Now, what should we do when we're making this crossing? If we want to make true change in our lives, we're going to have to make them as orderly as possible in terms of the kinds of changes that we want to make. We've got to be serious about changing old habits. We can't say, well, now listen, I think I really want to change, and then make up our minds and say, listen, I'm going to really change today, and then tomorrow go back to the old habits. We're going to have to keep ourselves oriented in the right way. We're going to have to keep ourselves organized in defeating these old habits. We're going to have to keep ourselves trained on the idea of making sure that everything is done correctly and make sure that we do it daily. Do you remember in the call to discipleship that Jesus makes? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That he makes in John in Matthew 16, 24. In the account that's given in Luke, the 9th chapter in verse 23, he makes the same statement, but he adds one word. And that is, take up his cross daily and follow me. And I think that's so significant. Daily. To take up our cross daily means that this is a task that doesn't allow for wind sprints. This allows for long distance running as a child of God. We've got to be in it for the long haul. If we're going to change from the old self to new creatures, we've got to be people who are determined that we are going to follow the new habits of following the Lord, of feeding on His Word, of daily doing what the Lord would have us to do, and making sure that this becomes a regular part of our lives, rather than following Christianity by fits and starts. All my life I've known people whose Christianity operated under those circumstances. A little bit here, a little bit there. Followed by times in which they spent it in the spiritual graveyard digging the old dead man up. Leave the old self dead and buried. You don't need him anymore. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, again, verses 12 through 14, notice how the Apostle Paul finishes the thought that we started a few minutes ago. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You see, it isn't just a matter of what we buried. It's a matter of what we put on. You see, he's talked about putting on the new self. The task of being a Christian is one in which we have to get busy about the business of making sure that the old self doesn't resurrect itself, but we also have to make sure that these new habits are ones that we develop as well. And he mentions a few of them here, as he does in other passages of Scripture. Notice compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. And then put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Do you realize this is what Christianity means? Christians are people who put these things on. you don't put these things on, then you haven't put on the new self. Just like taking off the old habits requires doing it immediately and repeatedly and soon and often. Putting on new habits requires doing so immediately and repeatedly and soon and often. What are we doing about this new self? Are we determined that these things that are mentioned here are ones that, in reference to the new self, we are going to immediately do our best to put on? Are we going to repeatedly look at these things and say we're going to put them on as often as we can, as often as we see the opportunity, we'll put these things on? And as soon as we see the opportunity, that's what we'll do. As often as we see the opportunity, that's what we'll do. I think sometimes as New Testament Christians, it's easy for us to just think, well, now listen, I've done 5 things of worship. I became a Christian a long time ago. I did the 4 things it takes to become a Christian. I've come to church on Sunday and I've done the 5 articles of worship. I go to a congregation and we do the things, the 3 things that Christians are supposed to do in a local congregation, I must be okay. We don't use instrumental music and we don't support human institutions. Man, I'm fine. You know what Christianity involves? A whole New Testament's worth of putting things on. And taking things off. And we've got to make sure we do it. Don't dare think that we can approach the Heavenly Father one of these days with all of these old habits and say, well, Lord, well, we didn't use instrumental music. That's good. What about that old self you dug up and drug around with you? But Lord, we didn't spend a dime on human institutions. Well, that's great. Shouldn't have done that. But what about that? What about all these, the new self that you never did go get around to putting on? See my point? What are you doing today? Are you up to the challenge? The Lord never said Christianity would not be rough. In fact, when people in the first century heard the call to discipleship in Luke 9:23, if any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, it ran more people off than it drew to Jesus. But we need to make up our minds that the Lord is looking for people who are willing to take up the cross, to take up the challenge, and to take it up daily, to follow Him, to put off the old self with its death, and take up the new challenge which provides life. For those in this audience that are willing this morning, we'd be glad to offer you life if you'll come in faith and show it through repentance. If you'll confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll be glad to baptize you into Jesus Christ so that you can put off the old self. You can put on the new self. And we'd be glad to help you in the challenge of that adventure through the rest of your life.